Welcome to the Fort Wayne Real Estate Investors Group, where truly smart, progressive investors with a love for real estate, a sincere desire to get rich and richer with no apologies for doing so, and an optimistic, forward-looking attitude gather to exchange timely information and what's working today's strategies to succeed in real estate. And now, your host for this wealth education call is author, investor, and coach, Scott Flathammer.
Well, it's my pleasure to welcome Jeff Vaughn from Fort Wayne Rental.
Yes.
And Renting Smarter, the Peaceful, Profitable Property Management course, to the studio where we're going to be talking about an answer to the question posed by several landlords: how do I answer to a prospect? Is this a safe place? So you've got a rental, you take a phone call, or your assistant's taking the phones, and the prospect says, is that a safe area? Is the school district good? Is it a quiet area, a non-violent area? So that's getting into some interesting waters, both for liability and even knowledge. How would you even know if you've got 80, 100 rentals, which one is specifically higher than another?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe four doors down, mm-hmm. four blocks down, mm-hmm. 4 miles across town.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, what I thought is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jeff's going to shed some light on to a couple things. But first, let's talk about how to answer that in a normal, short way.
Yes. No, that's a very good criteria, is to say it just exactly that way. In a normal, short way. Because you're taking a call from an unknown prospect. They want to know something about your property, either for sale or for rent. And you have 60 to 90 seconds to succinctly answer a very complex question about safety, investment, quality of life, neighborhood components, things that whether or not they want to investigate this neighborhood. So you have 90 seconds to answer an extremely complex question. And how do you do it? And frankly, right now in our community, you can't. Hopefully within the next very few months, you will be able to. Because let's remember how we all buy. We're all buyers, and we know that buyers don't want to work. They don't want to do a lot of research. They don't want to do a lot of analysis. Now, there is that buyer who will go out there and he'll read consumer reports and do all kinds of stuff. But that really, I find most buyers, they want to be spoon-fed their information. They want to have the analysis done for them. They want to be able to internalize the information almost immediately, be able to use it, be able to apply it as soon as they get it. And that requires a lot of data to be configured and assembled in a way that can be used by the buyer just immediately, to be used by the buyer intuitively, so they can immediately understand it. And there are ways to do that. There's certain categories. When you are measuring about a neighborhood, you're going to talk about safety, crime, schools, maybe vacancy rates, appreciation, owner occupancy, renters, tenants. What's the percentage of owner occupants? What's the percentage of tenants? And those will give you a lot of information in an immediate bite-size way. Transportation is another way to measure a neighborhood. And here's the key. When you measure a neighborhood, you do it through comparison. You take neighborhood A and you understand certain things about neighborhood A. You have a feeling of, you're comfortable with neighborhood A. You have been in that neighborhood and you just feel comfortable. You feel safe. You feel like this is where I belong. And you're going to consider a neighborhood B, and you're going to understand neighborhood B through neighborhood A. You're going to understand all these neighborhoods in a relative manner, in a comparative manner. And so what we need is a website or a way that consumers can quickly go to a a central data source and say, all right, I'm going to take neighborhood A, and look, here's the crime rate here, and here's the 14 different crimes they're measuring, and I can see how this crime compares to all other neighborhoods in my community. And I can also see how crime is comparing to a national norm. So there's a national norm in there, and you're going to see in certain neighborhoods, you're going to see crime is dramatically less compared to the nation. And in other neighborhoods, you're going to see it is two times higher than what the nation is. So there's a national norm, and then you're going to have the ability to compare one neighborhood to another on crime. You're going to have the ability to compare one neighborhood to another on owner occupancy and on vacancy and on appreciation and transportation. There's for instance, you can go to walkscore.com, put in any address in America, and you're going to get its walk score. And that is tells you just how walk-friendly this neighborhood is. So in the far outlying suburbs, obviously their walk score is going to be very poor. It's going to be, it's not a walkable neighborhood. You can't get from one location to another easily. And if you want to go shopping, you have to get in a car and drive. And then, of course, central city neighborhoods are going to have very good walk scores because they're usually got a lot of services that can support them. So that's another way to measure a neighborhood. If you want to be independent of $4 gas, you're going to want to understand your walk score. So transportation is going to be another piece that is a part of this measurable neighborhoods. And that is going to be a way to succinctly, completely, comprehensively answer this very complex question. Because now that landlord can say, well, Mr. Caller, thanks for your call. Where are you living now? Oh, you're in the Lakeside area. I see. And do you like that? Oh, you do. But you want to move, and you don't want to go to the house that I've got for rent. And why is that? Because you feel that the neighborhood's not safe. But do you know, Mr. Caller, that in Oakdale, where you live now, if you compare that to the house we're talking about, my house is safer in every different aspect than the house you're living in right now. Now, do you have any interest in that house? And it's amazing how enlightened just in seconds that caller becomes. And then you can back it up and support it by just referring them to this website to be built and saying, check it out for yourself. And you're going to see in minutes that the area you live in now, Oakville or whatever, is frankly, if you're comfortable with that, you should be comfortable with my neighborhood because frankly, I'm safer than you. I'm safer than your neighborhood. So let's make an appointment for you to come and see this house. Because by the way, Mr. Caller, my house is less expensive and offers more amenities than the areas you are considering. And if you don't come and see my house, I think you are cheating yourself out of a superior house for a better price. Mm-hmm. And is that what you want to do? Do you want to pay more for less? Nobody wants to do that.
So this website that's going to be built by the city, this is Fort Wayne. Is there any site, either national or local now, that's a substitute that we could use?
Yes, yes. In fact, you can go to spotcrime.com, spotcrime.com. You can go to clearsearch.com, and that is clrsearch.com. And play around on those sites, and you'll very quickly, literally within minutes, learn those sites and learn how to use them. And what you can do on both of those sites specifically, particularly clearsearch.com, clrsearch.com, you can take zip codes and put them side by side and compare them, and you're going to be amazed at what you see. You're going to take, in this particular case, 46805. Now, I've lived in 46805 for decades. I have owned many homes in 46805. I have managed oh my, 30 homes in 46805. My daughter rented a house before she bought a house. She rented in 46805. My first house that I owned and lived in was 46805. So I have tremendous comfort level with this zip code. And I compared it to other zip codes that people would say, oh, that's unsafe. And do you know that in this case, 46806 is far safer than 46805? And nobody would have ever guessed that.
In what kind of areas of crime? Yes. When you say safer, yes. Safer how?
There is, in this particular website, they will measure, and I'm doing this from memory, so I won't get them all, but at least to give you an overview, they will measure larceny, burglary, robbery, rape, vandalism, assault, murder, probably auto theft. Things like those, some pretty measurable crimes, and you'll be able to see how one area does against the other. And spotcrime.com, it's a superior site because it's all done visually, and a map of your selected neighborhood will come up, and little icons representing these crimes and the number of occurrences will pop up. So you kind of look at that and get a sense of the crime index in that neighborhood, and then you can go to any other neighborhood and do the same thing, and you're going to be amazed at neighborhoods that you consider to be extremely safe and how many of those icons are decorating mm-hmm. that map. And you're going to, at the same token, you're going to be taking neighborhoods that people have been rejecting for 40 years because they believe certain misinformation about these neighborhoods. They're stunned to see that these neighborhoods are, in fact, not anywhere near as bad as they've been represented. So,
because it's a reality that the neighborhoods that are tainted now mm-hmm. were probably neighborhoods of some prestige back yes. in the day when sure. they were new. It was a new area. The sure. city was smaller. They were on maybe the outskirts of town then, and something shifted as maybe the city got bigger. Mm-hmm. It seems obvious that a shift might occur again then.
Absolutely.
To where it's not as bad as people think.
Yes.
So for the last 40 years, people have been saying, stay out of X neighborhood.
Yes, yes.
But if you subscribe to that mantra, mm-hmm. then you're missing out on a more affordable house.
Absolutely.
That's just as well built.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And safer. So even as an investor going into those areas, mm-hmm. if you're armed with these facts, mm-hmm. you might be able to better capture a deal because you know that what's sure. thought and believed isn't true.
Sure.
And then you can educate the buyer or renter that you come across. Right.
I call this the falsehood of the neighborhood. And there's one thing for certain. Fact always answers fear. So true fact displaces fear. And fear always resides in misperceptions and misinformation and unchallenged ideas. Fact answers fear about the falsehood of neighborhoods. And that's what this website's designed to do. And to do it in a manner that the consumer likes. Again, we know that the consumer wants it where they want it. They want it when they want it. They want it how they want it. They don't want to have to work, and they want it for free. And this does this. And literally in minutes, they'll be able to say, how about that?
So with your help in pushing this through, you recently met with the mayor of Fort Wayne, mm-hmm. sat down with him, and he said what to you?
I showed him what could be and how we could achieve it, and he said, we've got to achieve this. We must do this. I had written a letter and asked him to sign it, and it's being sent to 15 to 20 different key people that have got data that we need to capture this data, and those 15, 20 people that need to assist us in putting together this website. And he said absolutely he would sign it. So we produced that letter, and that's been mailed to those different people, and now we're following them up to get them together collectively and get them on board with creating this website.
Is this going to answer the question about schools as well?
Yeah. So,
good.
It went to this letter went to the four different public information officers of the school corporations, and they'll tell us what they think is common, measurable, comparable data, And, of course, school data becomes, and I'm not sure what will be in there. Mm-hmm. It because you got to really understand how to use this. Graduation rates, SAT scores, attendance scores, percentage of students passing end-of-year assessment, what we used to call the I-STEP. There's a number of different ways to put this data in there. And the thing that is key is it has to be common to all the school corporation, so you could comparatively make a true measurement. For instance, I'm making some of this up, one graduation rate may be not showing the waiver, and you can graduate on certain conditions. If you have not passed your end of year assessments, but you've got the proper amount of 40 credits, and your attendance was above a certain level, you can graduate. And some schools will put that, that's called the waiver. Some schools will put that in, some schools will keep it out. It's just, we got to make sure that it's this data is apples to apples.
Yeah. So as we're wrapping up, talk to me and the listener about an important element of this that we haven't talked about yet, but is still very tied and important to this, mm-hmm. and that's about discrimination and what to say, what not to say when you're on the call with Mr. or Mr. Mrs. Caller, mm-hmm. and they say, is this area safe? Or maybe even ask it in a way that just puts you in a real spot, you know? What's the mix of the neighborhood? And, mm-hmm. and you know, you get some questions asked to you. That could be a legitimate prospect. It could be a test. From Metro or companies like that are checking for fair housing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So to be politically correct, is that the way, or just...
No, federally correct.
Federally, yeah, exactly. To be federally correct, what is the way to answer, in addition to giving them the resource if they have it, you know, and if they don't have it?
Sure. In fact, I was talking to one realtor, and he told a caller, he says, yes, this is a mixed neighborhood. There's two stories and there's ranches. They're all mixed up.
Yeah.
And but, of course, there's 7 classes that are protected. And it is the realtor or anybody, not just the realtor or the real estate agent, but any property owner should just not volunteer information about race, creed, national origin, color, sex, familial status, things like that. They don't have that information. And so they should refer them to data sites such as this one that will exist for them to get their own information. And if they don't, if there's not a data site, they can just simply say, well, those are some questions I'm not allowed to answer. I'm not allowed to talk to you about the mix of a neighborhood based on national origin. I'm not allowed to deal with that. So, Mr. Caller, if you're curious about that, drive the neighborhood 3 or 4 different times a day and just observe the people. Observe the condition of the houses. If there's pride of ownership, observe the cars and the condition of the cars and the years of the cars and the age of the cars. There's beat-up cars or what's laying around. And take a look if it's got alleys. Just drive up and down the alleys. If you want to see how a neighborhood feels about themselves, look in their alleys, and they'll tell you exactly what they think of themselves. If you mm-hmm. want to see pride, people take care of their back alleys as much as they do their front porch. So there's different ways to currently measure neighborhoods. And when asked certain questions that are federally prohibitive, just don't answer them and just simply excuse yourself and say, I'm not allowed to answer that question. Here are some possible ways to get answers to that question if you really think that that's important for you to know that.
And you're not allowed to answer them because they're a protected class.
Correct.
Okay.
And then a number of federal laws govern that, and civil rights, housing acts
mm-hmm. okay.
throughout the years have done that.
All right. Jeff is contributing to the Renting Smarter course, Property Management 101 for landlords, real estate agents, and brokers on how to multiply your efforts, income, and take no excuses from tenants because you've got a system in place.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. You also contribute to the REI Association. For more information, go to reiassociation.org.